It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly Obvious, it's clear as can.
The Blindly Obvious podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. All views expressed on this show do not constitute professional advice. We make no representation or warranties regarding the accuracy, completeness, or applicability of the content we express. These are merely our opinions, and as such, we encourage everyone to form your own opinions.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff, and today we are talking the conversation of quick and dirty. Kind of reminds me of the story of the tortoise and the hare, where the whole idea behind the story, right, is that the slow and steady process is what wins the race. But I often feel like I myself am more of a let's get it done as quick as we can sometimes. And then as a result, you miss those fine details, which causes you setbacks in the race per se. Jeff?
I got two thoughts on that. Slow and steady wins the race. And yet, when do we ever celebrate that at the Olympics? Oh, the slow guy won.
Exactly. No, it's usually the first guy to the finish line that's...
But on the flip side, there's the quick and dirty, which is I think a most people's default. It's a simile, an echo, if you will, of a movie I once saw. It's called The Quick and the Dead. There's that one song, I'm in a hurry to get things done.
I was just going to say that. Rush and rush until life's no fun. That's crazy, man. I really was just going to say that.
I think that's us, though, isn't it? I mean, we're our own party pooper.
And we continue to put ourselves in the same pattern or same position over and over again.
Don't they call that a rut?
I think they call that foolish, but...
I heard someone say a long time ago, it's just a few inches difference between a rut and a grave.
Oh, yikes. That's probably fair,
good,
but...
though, right?
Sheesh.
But no, I mean, the quick and dirty.
So what are you saying? If you continue to get yourself stuck in a rut, you're going to get yourself stuck in the grave? Or?
Well, I mean, don't you think a lot of people are stuck?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, whether it's physically or neurologically, like we're in these, we call them habits, but man, some of these habits need to be broken.
I feel like
they're breaking us.
Yeah. I feel like I myself, I'm like, man, I just got unstuck from these five things. And then all of a sudden it'll be like, God's like, yeah, now look, here's five more you need to work on.
Unglue here.
And I'm like, oh my goodness, where does it stop?
I don't think it does, but on the flip side of that, would you ever want it to, for the happiness that you draw from that? Because it's like every time you let go of things God tells you to let go of, it's like breathing in fresh air.
I think what's difficult is when you begin this process, nothing about it seems happy. And what I mean by that is you're peeling yourself away from things that you think are for you or that you think, man, I truly enjoy this. I need this. But once you realize through that struggle on the other side, the relief you feel to be broken from it, yes, you're exactly right. So as you're further down the road in the process, you know that, man, all right, I know this is going to be a little difficult, but I also know that when I can get to the other side, I am going to receive great benefit from doing it. But in the beginning, that's very tough to latch on to that idea without seeing the results from the positive benefit, right?
What's that saying? Something about if you don't have time to do it right the first time, how will you have time to do it a second time?
Yeah.
Are you a quick and dirty, or are you the slow and cautious?
Oh, no, I'm not slow and cautious. But as a result of not being slow and cautious, you oftentimes are left to potentially do a task over again.
Repeated.
I think my problem is I'm more of a big idea person versus a small meticulous detail person, which is, I think, good that my wife and I balance each other out a little bit in that regard. But I'm not I have this big idea and I just want to get to the end of my big idea. And I oftentimes kind of try to gloss over or skip through the process it necessarily takes to fulfill that big idea.
I think that's a generation thing too. Your generation doesn't like process.
Right.
Like they want the instant results.
Sure. I mean, to some way, we got to say the online era has probably created a, not that people in the past haven't been patient.
Sure, sure.
Or been patient, excuse me. But I think the online era has created in the younger generations even more so a lack of discipline in the regards to patience, because everything is so instantaneous.
Yeah. We're familiar with, of course, our faucets and our light switches, and it just, our computer just turns on and our phone.
And that's that's the video actually I was just going to tell you about that I was watching last night, as this guy was saying how, you know, I always hear people say, if I just had this little chunk of heaven out in the middle of nowhere and a little cabin and some internet, I'd be good. That's all I need. And he goes, but we just fail to realize how much energy it takes to produce anything. And he even gave the examples. He goes, when you go into your home and you're just used to turning the faucet on and the water runs, or you flip on your light switch and the electricity works. But we never think about all of the time, effort, and labor that actually went into creating that.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, that's a great point.
It is. And even generationally, much of the infrastructure that we're still using was built by a previous generation, and it's got a shelf life. I mean, we know it's got to be on its last leg. The grid, they're saying, is struggling, and now we're adding to it with AI and all that stuff.
With the advancements in technology, as well as more people using it,
right?
The once positive or structural infrastructure is obviously giving in to the demands that it was never really built to maintain.
I, like you, I struggle to be that slow and steady, the hare and the
tortoise and the hare.
Yeah, tortoise and the hare. I really struggle to be that tortoise. It's so slow, and it's like, come on, man, move a little faster. And to the other side of that, I'm continually having to go back and fix things that it wasn't done right the first time.
Right, like,
and
so I missed this here, or that should have been done a little better there.
Mm-hmm. Or I just wasn't happy with it. You know, even nobody's complaining but me, but I look at the result and go, "Nah, redo."
Mm-hmm.
So for all that fretting and hurried and stress that I've created on myself was for nothing. If I just slowed down.
I feel like I shouldn't have said, I am a meticulous, I like details, like I am detail oriented. Just when I'm in the midst of a big idea per se, I just want to skip that process. I think that's a better way to put it. Like you just said, when it's done, you can look back and be like, oh man, that's not right there. This needs to be better here. Because I do care about those details. I just don't want to do those details in the midst of my idea.
I want to delegate that.
Right. Exactly. Like, hey, can you take care of this? And you take care of this? And this gets taken care of by you and everybody's happy.
But there's just some things in life that if you do the quick and dirty, there's going to be suffering. Like, for example, being a good husband, being a good father, or hey, a good American.
How about a good follower of Christ?
Exactly. Is what do you hope your kids will be? A quick and dirty, or slow and steady? And are you modeling that for them? You know, and that's where it's like, it hurts. It hurts.
But there are sometimes. See, the struggle with that is there are sometimes
the hustle.
Quick and dirty is going to do the job sufficiently. But there are those other times, like you just explained, like in terms of relationships, regardless if that's a faith relationship or a peer-to-peer relationship, quick and dirty is not really going to get the job done. So probably a balance, but that's the hard thing, is finding that balance, right?
To know when to hustle and when to slow down.
Right.
What's that Kenny Rogers song? You got to know when to hold them.
Know when to fold them. That's right. Know when to walk away and know when to run.
Probably not in the way he meant, but no, there is a time to hustle. And I think, again, one of our issues is we don't always have proper boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're allowing culture to dictate those things, or just feelings or emotion. Make
that's basically
the decision.
Culture, though, right? Culture tells you to lean into your feelings, lean into your emotion. If it feels right for you, go for it.
Man, how many lives have been ruined by that impulse?
Mm-hmm.
If it feels right, just do it.
Not only that, yes, it is ruining your life, but it's so hard to pull yourself out of the thick of that fog when everything and everyone around you is encouraging that mentality.
The echo chamber is cheering you on.
And you're thinking, well, why would I not do what makes me happy? That's what everybody says to do. And that's what everybody else is doing, right?
What would you say is something that you are slow and steady on, like by your default? On a regular basis, you slow down and say, I'm going to do this way.
I feel like I really have gotten a lot better at being slow and steady in relationships. I don't think I always was that way, but I do think I've gotten better in that regard. And I really think developing my faith relationship has helped me come to that with other people, because it's very easy for me to still see, like, I know where I once was compared to where I am now. So I know that in a relationship that's peer-to-peer, someone who's trying to find their way, if truly seeking that, is going to find it. So I've really tried to lean into, well, you know, you used to view things like that. So give these people some space to come to their own acknowledgments and provide help where maybe you can, and otherwise give them the space to realize that, oh, you know what, maybe this could be a little better here, and I could use some improvement there. And I mean, that goes the same for me, right? Just as much as I've come a long way, I still have a long way to go. So I try to think of it as, well, somebody that's ahead of me in this race per se is hopefully offering me the same grace that I'm trying to offer to others. And I know, if not in all circumstances, because that's not always going to be the case, you do have your relationship with Christ, who is offering you that grace and mercy, as you can see, like, man, I used to be a total idiot, and you still didn't give up on me. There was still room for me at your table. So to know that if I'm truly putting forth effort to draw closer to you, to be more like the Holy Spirit, if God didn't turn away from me when I was at my worst, he still offered me a place at his table. He certainly isn't going to turn from me if I'm making efforts to be more like him.
Yeah, I think, let me give you another layer that we don't think about of what you just said, is that at our worst, the state that you were actually in wasn't even a rival, it was an enemy.
Yes, it was an opposition.
Right, it's like, he had reason to hate you, but he loved you.
Sure.
It's like, whoa.
And I would add to that, though, with that mercy and grace, I didn't, and I think many others who were at their worst at times, you didn't really know how bad you were.
Yeah.
To where there is a difference between not knowing and then knowing
and choosing
to intentionally defy that.
Absolutely.
Total difference. And that kind of goes back to the three: the foolish, the wise, and the wicked, right? Mm-hmm. The foolish don't really know what they do. They end up in the same cycled trap over and over again due to making the same decisions. The wise have grown out of the foolish state, and the wicked intentionally choose to be wicked while knowing what the wise know.
All right, so wise and foolish here, which are... There's different mindsets in the hustle times. So are you a person who likes to play first and work later, or hurry up and work so you can slow down and relax?
Probably more towards the play. It's like something I could work on as being a little more serious, I would say. Like, I'm just not a very serious person. I don't take things seriously so much. I don't take things personally so much, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, except for when it leads to complacency, right? Oh, who cares? Don't worry about it. It'll be here tomorrow.
The only time I've seen you do that is when you're not concerned about the outcome.
Yeah, it's probably
like
fair.
You don't feel a personal responsibility when you, because whenever I see that you take a personal responsibility, you're like, hey, let's get this done.
Yeah, that's probably fair. If I'm into it, I'm into it. Right. But if I'm really not into it, I'm kind of lackadaisical about it.
Otherwise, you could be like a nail in a hammer. You're like, let's drive that sucker in, man. Let's get it done. Get her done, man.
That probably is the difference for me. If I have the calling or the feeling to be all in to something, I usually am all into it and I want to like, let's get it done yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I don't have that feeling or that call to that specific thing, it's just kind of like whatever. Somebody else will take care of it or put it on the shelf.
We see these tensions again, like the hurry up, slow down and the mm-hmm. do it well versus good enough.
Yeah.
Where do you find the proper, not just balance, but alignment of what can be fudged on and what has to be precise? Like, how do we, as you think about your kids, that's what I'm thinking about, as you want to pass on a legacy and principles that you hope they would embrace.
I don't really know, I guess, how you find the balance other than being obedient to, if God's calling you to do something, go in slow and steady, absolutely, and know that this is not going to be on my time. So taking that consideration from the beginning, I think, makes all the difference. And if it's something that you just kind of like to do or want to do, don't really feel a calling towards it, but you enjoy it, or maybe it just needs to be done. Maybe it's you got a customer service job because you need some money to pay for whatever it may be. If you're hustling to get that money, as long as it's not out of bounds in what you're doing, I don't think hustling in that regard is necessarily a problem.
So much of our day, and I don't know how you'd quantify this because it's probably not consistent, but think about all the time that we just are killing time.
Oh yeah. We have so much dead time, but at the same time, everything around us feels so rushed. Like now. But in reality, you're right. There's so much dead time that we waste. Just like you said, scrolling or watching TV or
gaming. I'm not gaming. A gamer, but I see the younger generation, the Zoomers, if you will, the hours mm-hmm. they spend in gaming. And sure. And I'm not going to say that that's not, I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm just saying that
a lot of wasted time.
Is that the best use of your time? Especially when you know you got a test to study for or a job interview to get ready for, whatever it is, you know, there are more pressing things. Is that really where your time should be spent?
I think you nailed it in the having the proper boundaries, because, man, we do have a lot of dead time. And when you start leaning into the patterns of that, of, oh, yeah, I just, I play my video game 30 minutes every day, then that becomes 60 minutes, and then that becomes 120 minutes. Or, oh, man, I scroll on my phone, 15 minutes here, and then maybe another 20 minutes there, and then another 30 minutes here later on. And then all of a sudden, once again, you're at 2 hours a day that you're mindlessly scrolling on your cell phone.
Yeah, I tell you.
Without even realizing it.
The ones that make me feel bad is where you're playing a game or something, because I play games too with my kids and whatever. I won't name the games on my phone, but it's like, okay, I got one more game to get in, and I got to get some stuff done. Right. So sometimes, like you said, I'll play on the front end and then work later. And there's a benefit. I've seen fruitful things come from that. And then I would say my default preference, though, is to work hard and then go play, because I want to be able to unwind. I want to just let go, as opposed to have something hanging over my head, if that makes sense. But, mm-hmm. As I think about what I want to pass on to my kids, I guess where I would land is, we should think of the ultimate father and what he gave his kids. And what he did was he showed us a pattern. He said, work 6 days and rest on the seventh. I think a lot of us could learn a lot there. So you work from sun up to sundown. So what, you got an 8 to 12 hour day. You're working, getting things done. And then, of course, you got rest at night. Farmers 100 years ago, they used to work from sun up to sundown. It was a thousands of years tradition, if you will. But they were faithful, those previous generations, to honor that Sabbath day. And I know that we're not bound to have to. You're going to go to hell if you don't practice the Sabbath day. But aren't we living in hell because we don't?
Yeah, nobody rests. Yeah. Like, truly rests. And meaning so, that, like, even when you're using dead time to play video games, scroll on your phone, whatever it may be, you're not really resting.
No, you're finding a new stress. Mm-hmm. Less stress than work, maybe, but that video game where you're trying to accomplish the goal or whatever, get this achievement or award.
Really, you're just finding it as a distraction.
Yeah, and getting some sense of control rather than surrendering to the one who is in control.
And taking time to
connect
with the Holy Spirit, to to listen, to know, hey, you know, maybe offer repentance for some ways in which you fell short during the week and gather some clarity on, you know, I feel like I could be doing this better. And I feel like I've been doing really good in this area. So just really regathering your thoughts, right? And collecting yourself to where now we're in such a trap of, I think many people do the sun up to sundown gig, but then they've sent their kids away all day to daycare. They have 15 different extracurricular activities going on as far as this child might be in this, this child might be in that. People actually only spend probably about an hour a day as an entire family, if they're lucky.
You know, it's saying something that we have time for our distractions on our phone and whatever else, but not each other.
Yes.
That's sad.
It's tough, man, because I think a good portion of us fall into that. Maybe some greater than others, but I think a good portion of us fall into that exact same trap in one way or another.
It'd be a safe bet to say, for your recreation, make that a quick and dirty, and start giving your family the slow and steady.
That's a great way to put that. Maybe the balance is in quick and dirty is probably best suited for pleasure and play, and slow and steady is best suited for things that actually matter.
Right. Stop and take inventory about what matters. And listen, every commandment God gave us wasn't for our punishment, but for our protection. And that includes the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was meant for us to connect with God and to rest in each other, to meet needs that we all have as we try and live in Him. And there's a benefit that we're all missing.
Be still and know that He is God.
Mm-hmm.
This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
Past the signs each day, in little things missed along the way, the symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious, but out of sight. The magician's lie, a trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm. Blindly we ignore back to you. See it too. Oh, I can see it. The roads lead back to you.